Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, joining us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line is Arizona Cardinals sideline reporter Paul Calvisi, who joins us most weeks when we have a show. What's going on, Paulie?
I'm enjoying that Jack White. You know, I think that's more than your listeners have enjoyed Wolf so far today. Apparently, Maloney called me, said he's still giving everyone game review from Tuesday night, Suns Warriors. So, got to bring someone on to talk something of substance, Luke, and give you a break.
All right, Paulie, how you doing, by the way? You doing okay, Paulie? You all fired up? Are you all packed up, ready to go to Chicago tomorrow?
Yeah, I do have the rain suit set aside, the all-red rain slicker, including the pants. I'm going to be wearing more red, white, and black than Santa, basically, on that sideline. But I don't really believe it. Having lived 2 years in Chicago, guys, do not believe the weather forecast until you're about 24 hours out, okay? You know, in Chicago, those meteorologists really earn their paycheck. You know, unlike around here, like Paul Horton over at Channel 5. I mean, just cash an easy check.
Love you, Paul. Shot over
Paul on Paul love violence you, Paul. Here. Wow.
So we'll see what happens. But here's what you got to remember. Not only is it the weather and the wind, okay? And by the way, Kyler did an unbelievable job in Cleveland, I thought, of navigating the wind and being accurate as a quarterback. Nobody realized those crosswinds in Cleveland. He did a great job. Cliff Kingsbury talked about that, you know, Kyler coming from Texas and then playing in Oklahoma. If you know one thing, you know how to throw in the wind. And so I thought he was really good at that if he ends up going on Sunday. But Soldier Field is known for really long grass. It's sort of like, I don't know, the San Francisco Giants in their infield, right? So, Wolf, if there's really long grass and it's wet, guys are going to try those long seven studs right on their cleats. But there might be a lot of wipeouts in this game when guys are trying football moves on that surface.
Yeah, no, Paulie, there's no doubt about it. That and Lambeau Field, the two longest, at least even back when I was playing, it was Lambeau and it was Soldier Field, and both of those were known for having long grass, even then, Paul, which is truly amazing to your point right here. But honestly, this is going to be a nasty game, Paul. I think this is going to be a dirty, filthy, nasty, angry, physical game. Your thoughts on that?
I would agree, especially since the Cardinals, I think, are sick and tired of hearing about, when you come out of the bye, you guys are miserable, and the bye week blues and the blahs and all that. If there's one thing we know about this team, guys, it's that they love a challenge. Whether it was week one in Tennessee and you can't stop King Henry and win in Nashville, whether it was you can't beat Sean McVay, whether it's you can't win without your head coach or your starting quarterback, well, they've risen to the occasion on every one of those.
Yep.
And so they love a challenge. They love this talk that, okay, you know what, coming out of the bye, you guys have had these lackluster losses. So, yeah, Cliff Kingsbury said today on his own that there was a lot of good energy out there this week. They had that off-season study. Okay, so we'll see if the off-season study is worth printing in a medical journal somewhere as to how do you come out of a bye week in the NFL and whether the Cardinals are able to, do a little bit better than they did the last couple of years, that's for sure.
Talking to Paul Calvisi, Paul, I'm looking at the latest episode of Folktales, and, there's no way to talk about a Cardinals-Bears game without at least referencing that game back in 2006 and Denny Green going off afterwards.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
And I didn't realize that you were the guy he went to talk to right after that.
Yeah, that's my connection to the story. When he exits the press conference room and the door closes behind him, geez, where's he headed next? Oh, well, there's a pencil neck radio guy about 10 feet behind that door. Unbeknownst to him, what has just gone down, with the exception of what was screamed into my headset by our longtime producer, the best in the league, Jim Omondro, said, because all he had was sort of like an in-house feed, and all he said was, oh, bleep, coach just knocked over the podium, here he comes, and he's bleep.
Paul, it's still one of my favorite stories of all time.
And guys,
here he comes.
Can I tell you that one of my most vivid recollections was how Denny Green needed a post-game shower. I mean, he was steaming in more ways than one.
Man.
But I think even as he's doing the interview, you could see he was rewinding in his head like, oh boy, what did I just do? I'm pretty sure I'm going to go viral. That's going to be played on a loop forever. You could tell he sort of was reflective on what he had just said as opposed to what he was saying on live radio at that moment. And as I said in the documentary in Cardinals Folktales, I was told later by the team doctors that was the best thing he could have done, because to release that frustration in that moment, it was so fierce, it might have killed him on the spot. So releasing the frustration was actually good for his health.
So, Paulie, not to get off of that, because it really is, it's a legendary story, but in regard to this game coming up on Sunday, tell me about DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray and whether or not you expect them to play.
Just reading between the lines, I expect Kyler to go. I'm not so sure on DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm.
He wasn't out there today during the open part of practice. What does that mean exactly? If it's cold, if traction's going to be an issue, do you really want a guy with a hamstring problem out there on that track in those conditions? So I think he truly is a game day decision. What is the weather like? How's he responding? You know, what kind of footing can he get? Kyler Murray, I think he is going. I think there's probably more gamesmanship than anything at this point. If it was a playoff game, there's no doubt I think he's going. So, yeah, with that in mind, you know, as for the Bears, you guys probably saw Andy Dalton's going, and Justin Fields is not, and Nick Foles is going to be the backup. So I'm guessing what the Cardinals did to Andy Dalton last year in that Dallas game that they won going away, where Andy Dalton threw a couple of picks and had to go to the air 54 times because the Cardinals took the lead and bottled up the run. I'm guessing that game plan is going to be in place by Vance Joseph all over again against Andy Dalton.
Paulie, coming out of the bye week here, any sense that they need to guard against, you know, shaking off the rust, or it might take a quarter or two to get going again?
I could see that, no doubt. I mean, you know, you can't simulate full contact, full go, full speed football. And after 10 days off, yeah, I can see that. A couple of guys said, yeah, you know, as tired as we are 11 games in, it is tough to stop the momentum coming off a win in Seattle and the 9-2 record and the whole thing. But even though there might be a slow start on the road, I mean, guys, they're missing Allen Robinson most likely. Mm. You know, Roquan Smith is banged up. Akeem Hicks, their standout D tackle, isn't going to go. You know, I mean, they are banged up. They're not very talented. Their leading receiver is Darnell Mooney, a fifth-round pick from Tulane a year ago. David Montgomery, for everything that Wolf has espoused this week on David Montgomery, Wolf, he hasn't been the same running back ever since he suffered the knee sprain in, what, week four?
Yeah.
They go out against Detroit, and they stunk up the joint, right? I mean, they had 29 carries for 68 yards on the ground, 2.3 yards a carry against the Lions' 31st-ranked run defense. So I think they're going to be pretty one-dimensional. And so this doesn't have to be close. They've won every road game by double digits. I expect more of the same against Chicago.
Okay, we're talking to Paul Windshield Calvisi here on the Wolf and Luke Show.
See, he doesn't like it when I disagree with him, Luke. He doesn't like it.
He said he was going to be nice.
You know? No, I'm just talking about the fact that, again, did the Carolina Panthers come in here with a lot of hoopla, as a matter of fact. The Carolina Panthers came in here. Everyone thought that we were going to roll, including myself, and the Carolina Panthers, with a guy that had thrown 71 pass attempts, came in here and they ran the ball very, very well in between the tackles. Listen, David Montgomery, once again, is a tough tackle. They had Tom Theron, as a matter of fact, an analyst for the Chicago Bears, a guy that I actually played against, Paulie. Tom Theron, he was coming out, he was talking about the fact this is what they do. This is who they are. They're going to try to run the ball in between the tackles, and I want to know if we're going to be up to the task, if the Arizona Cardinals are going to be up to that task of confronting David Montgomery and the Chicago Bears running the ball in a north-south way.
Okay, two things. Carolina, you know what they found out? That P.J. Walker actually is a better option at quarterback than Cam Newton.
Okay, great.
They found that. Now, number two, since Wolf is boring me, I've got a holy cannoli stat for you here, Luke. You ready?
Oh, no.
Matt Nagy against the Detroit Lions in his Bears career as head coach is 7-1. And he's sub-500 against every other team he's played against in 4 years.
Hey, you know what, though, Paulie? It's not going to be Corey Peters against Matt Nagy. It's not going to be Isaiah Simmons against Matt Nagy. It's not going to be Jordan Hicks against Matt Nagy. It's going to be Jordan Hicks, Isaiah Simmons, Corey Peters against the Chicago Bears and their ability to run block, and David Montgomery. That's what it's – who cares about Matt Nagy?
I would.
finally we got some energy out of Wolf on a Friday.
Yeah, no, he's been okay. So tame all day.
I mean, right. Honestly, you know,
Polly just... Parka, please.
He's a little steamed because of the pandemic. This is going to be the second straight year he's not going to be able to make that extra cash as a mall Santa.
Oh, boy.
You know,
wow.
He still fits the suit, but there's still, you know, there's no side hustle there for Wolf again this year.
Polly, I got to tell you right now, you're talking about your red suit, your jumpsuit, whatever that is, Polly, out there. I've got a picture of you in New York, as a matter of fact, at the Meadowlands, Polly. And this, I've got to tweet this out. Okay,
no,
Paul,
all right, we're going to
please don't.
No, Paul, it's hysterical.
You know, you're going to get your Twitter account suspended again, Wolf. It was suspended for all of November. He's back online. He's like a Twitter cowboy all over again, Luke. What's going on? Let me tell you, if he tweets that out, I'm going to send out my picture from dinner Saturday night in Chicago,
nice.
Where Wolf is guaranteed to wear the jean jacket from the Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA tour that he still rocks on the road.
You know what, Paulie? To do that. Okay?
All right.
You go ahead and tweet that out because I'm tweeting this.
I want to see this escalate on social media. All right, Polly, thanks a lot, man. Good luck in Chicago.
All right. Stay frosty,
right,
guys. See you in a matter of time.
All right. Attention, Cardinals. Cardinals fans, we're issuing a code red all next week as the division rival LA Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football, December 13th. So text red to 620-620 and listen for your name during the 7:30 a.m., 12:30 a.m., and or 12:30 p.m., 4:30 p.m. next week to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. That's red to 620-620. Coming up, DeAndre Hopkins on whether or not he expects to be back on Sunday. We'll just hear from him. And that's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, here we go. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. No more sideline discussion with Paul Calvisi with a bell tie perspective.
Did you tweet that picture out yet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I didn't.
Okay.
I'm questioning whether or not I should.
Because you know there's going to be repercussions?
There is. He's got a picture of me at, I believe it was a wedding, dancing with a warrior queen.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. I did the exact same thing over and over and over again. It's kind of like Paul. If you watch Paul Calvisi dance, basically, he's like watching a deck chair fold and unfold, and unfold.
That almost sounds poetic. If you have video,
doesn't look poetic.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound like it looks poetic, but it does sound poetic the way you described it. All right, couple updates on this game on Sunday. Matt Nagy said Andy Dalton's going to start for the Bears, so that's who the Cardinals are opposing. So much for gamesmanship from Chicago's side. They were just
how
like
about
whatever.
That right there, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think he's kind of made his own bet on this one because, again, it was like, okay, there's not going to be any type of competition. We were talking to Tom Thayer about that very thing, the fact that they went out, they signed him, and then they drafted Justin Fields and brought him in, and all of a sudden there was no competition. This is going to be Andy Dalton and his job. Kind of a weird situation overall.
Well, even more weird when you consider it's Chicago. Their fans are a little bit passionate about the Bears.
Little.
When they went out and got Dalton, they were not excited because, remember, they thought they were getting Russell Wilson last offseason.
Let's see. Russ or Dalton.
And then the team, for whatever reason, had the audacity to tweet out a picture of Andy Dalton with QB1 as the caption, which really went over well with Bears fans.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's what Chicago's got for the Cardinals. As far as the Cardinals side of things, DeAndre Hopkins, you heard Ian Rappaport, we played it earlier, from yesterday, saying he expected Kyler and Hopkins to go on Sunday, barring any setbacks. But then DeAndre Hopkins wasn't practicing this morning. So Hopkins, this is just from like an hour ago, talking about it. They asked him, so like, what's the deal? Are you playing?
Yeah, I'm going to go out, and I'll give it a go before the game.
Wow.
That doesn't, he didn't even say hopeful.
That's game time right there. Yeah. That's what that says. That is game. He didn't say hopeful.
Yeah.
That is, though. That is a game time decision right there. That's what he answered.
You know, when we had Calvisi on last segment, and he said sort of what I've been kind of worrying about all week, that Kyler's probably going to play, which is, you know, ultimately the more important of the two right now, because you do have other receivers. I mean, you've got Colt McCoy too, but you know what I mean. But Hopkins, he wasn't so sure. And the reasons that Calvisi threw out there, not just that Hopkins might not be healthy enough to go, but even if he is, are you going to push it in this weather, in this sort of game, in the cold. He's coming back from a hamstring.
Man.
I mean, I get the whole, like, you want your guys to play. You can't just sit them and protect them forever. But I do wonder if they're having that conversation right now of like, man, if it's really 40 degrees and raining and windy, do we want that to be his first game back from a hamstring issue if it's close? Or do we just wait and bring him back indoors against the Rams?
So the Cardinals just released their official injury report, the last one this week. James Wiggins is out. DeAndre Hopkins, Byron Murphy, Kyler Murray, and Justin Pugh are all questionable.
Questionable.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take the questionable designation any day of the week.
Game time decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just that. Questionable happens all the time. I mean, questionable is not doubtful.
Sure beats the alternative.
Yeah, it sure does. Like doubtful or out.
But hopeful.
Yes, hopeful. I'm going to say questionable. I'm okay with that. I got no problem with that. There's no doubt about it. I am a little, you know, a little, if in fact Kyler Murray does not play, I'm going to be, you know, a little upset.
Kyler?
I'm just saying. I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah, Kyler better play. Yeah.
If he doesn't play. Wow. What happened? That was a high ankle sprain. That man, that was a bad high ankle sprain.
That's gamesmanship, right? Because originally it wasn't even a high ankle sprain. It was just an ankle sprain.
Yes.
So I don't think those things move.
Okay, so I was not imagining that, right?
I remember it being an ankle.
It was an ankle sprain.
Yes.
That's what it was, an ankle. I remember asking Cliff about that specifically,
yeah.
As a matter of fact. Because of the high ankle, those things are tricky.
Yeah, those are worse, obviously.
They
You're
going to
miss a lot more time.
No doubt. But Kyler Murray, I just honestly, I think they're both going to play. Now, unless Kyler rolled his ankle in practice or D-Hop tweaked it again, hopefully that's gamesmanship that we're hearing right there from D-Hop. Yeah, I'm going to go out before the game. I'll give it a go.
Here's more. They asked him if missing time affected him at all.
It hasn't. You know, I got a good supporting cast outside of, you know, the football field. My family, my mom, you know, my sisters. So, you know, football is fun. The sport is fun. You know, I've been through a lot of, you know, real life, you know, scenarios that are, you know, more mentally challenging than missing a couple games and being the number one seed in the NFL.
Yeah, that's he has. He certainly has. He's been through
a
lot.
There was a little sarcasm.
There was a little.
Right,
see, everybody loves sarcasm. Even D-Hop loves sarcasm.
Listen, I can't stand sarcasm.
Oh, it was great.
But that right there was interesting, the way that he kind of, that was humorous.
He threw that in there at the end, too.
At the end right there.
And being the number one seed.
Yeah, it's
just worst
really
things
rough.
In life.
I'm pushing my way through it.
I want to play one more here from him. They asked if he's worried, and this to me is probably the most important question right now with DeAndre Hopkins. Are you worried about re-injuring it when you come back?
This training staff do a good job of, you know, kind of getting me ready for that kind of, you know, full speed intensity. We got some new guys in here that deal with those kind of injuries, I would say, or, you know, you got one of the best trainers in Fisher, you know, who's a soft tissue specialist. So I don't have any concerns about that, you know, ramping it up like that.
Because he's either going to come back this week or Monday night against the Rams, unless he re-injures it, I guess, during you know, practice or whatever. But I think we're all pretty confident he's either coming back Sunday or next Monday against the Rams. So isn't that really the biggest question is, how do you make sure this doesn't happen again going like into the playoffs in a couple weeks?
Yeah, but you know, once again, it's not like DeAndre Hopkins has missed a lot of time in his career. This is why this is so weird to see this. It's not like D-Hop hasn't had a hamstring before as well when he was playing with the Texans.
Yeah.
He has. And this is, I mean, honestly, there have been hamstrings, Basinonians, where I have heard of guys, I have seen guys miss a month, 4 weeks, because they really cranked this hamstring badly, and there was actual bleeding.
Ugh.
Yeah, I've seen that before, but man, a typical hamstring is going to be two and a half weeks. Somewhere in there, if it's a pulled hamstring, a strained hamstring, 10 days. Yeah, you know, so it's kind of, how bad was it? That's what it comes down to. I think we're getting our answer.
It's going to be like 6 weeks if he misses.
Unless he actually went ahead and tweaked it again, and that's a real possibility.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, Suns Warriors round two. That means game day with K-Ray. It's Wolf and Luke on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Catch it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Brings the boom. And catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns, game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for whatever.
Kevin Ray joining us now as the Suns get set to take on the Golden State Warriors again tonight, going for consecutive win in a row, number 19. They got 18 last night, K-Ray, against the Pistons, a game the Suns jumped out early, even without Devin Booker. The Pistons made a run, but the Suns do set the franchise record. So now that it is the franchise record, and that's sort of a significant number, what has stood out to you about, especially these last couple games?
Well, you know, I think, you know, we've talked so much about the depth and the quality of depth. And it's easy to kind of use that as cliche. You know, a lot of teams like to feel like they have depth, but how, you know, what's the level of quality of that depth? And I think that going back to the game, you know, Tuesday night against the Warriors when Booker went down and basically played barely, you know, a quarter, not even a quarter and a half, really. And then to see the guys step up, you know, the Cam Johnsons, the campaigns, the JaVale McGee's. And then to follow that up now in a game that, look, you're facing a Pistons team that came in, had four wins, and it would have been real easy for a lot of teams to start focusing on the Warriors and think, yeah, okay, we can just roll the ball out and go. And I think it's just a testament to, you know, the way this team approaches each and every game, the coaching and leadership of Monty, and certainly, you know, starting at the top with Chris Paul, just reminding these guys that, you know, you're facing an NBA opponent tonight, and if you don't respect them, they will take care of you. And but to see the guys getting extended playing time, the Landry Shamet's getting the start last night and respond, that to me is, you know, is very promising.
You know, okay, this might be my favorite win of the season. Now, granted, you know, I understand that if you haven't won 17 games in a row, beating Detroit is not actually going to be one of the marquee wins of the season. But having said that, knowing that you had won 17 in a row, including beating the Warriors on Tuesday night, and knowing that you had the Warriors again tonight on Friday night, and in between that, you have the worst team in the association. If ever there was a trap game, this was it, and yet that was not the case. They went out and took care of business once again, Kay. I don't know if you can speak enough about the chemistry and the culture of this team, because to me, that's what won the game last night.
Yeah, and look, you know, Chris has said it a couple of times, and I had the good fortune to talk to him last week a little bit, but, you know, talking about those previous teams that he was on, the Clippers and the Rockets, you know, were 17-game win streaks that he was a part of. But the thing that he said to me then, and he has said a couple times since then, is just the tightness, the bond that this group of players has and feels for one another, and just the joy that they get in playing with and for one another. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, to play in a game like that, that's the kind of connection that you've got to have, and that's why this team has been able to rip off 18 straight now.
Yeah.
Talking to Kevin Ray, K-Ray, obviously the streak's going to have to end at some point, I assume. I don't think they're running, would it be like 78 in a row off? I don't think they're going to be able to pull that. But if they can go into Golden State tonight and do this without Devin Booker, second half of a back-to-back, you know, Golden State's kind of just been waiting for the rematch here since Tuesday. Figure Steph's not going to shoot 4 of 21. If the Suns can go in there and pull this off tonight, what does that say? I know it's a regular season game, but that one would be a little bit different for me.
Yeah, agreed. Because look, this place, Chase Center, just like their old building, you know, it is a tough place to play. The crowd gets raucous here. It's not quite as loud as the old building used to be, but they get ramped up here, and you know, because the Suns, you know, cooled off the Warriors and cooled off Steph, these fans are going to be, you know, amped up from long before the tip-off tonight. And so I'm really anxious to see how our guys kind of absorb that early energy from both the Warriors and then their fans. But I go back to, you know, just how much the finals experience has served them for situations like this. But, you know, I guess to kind of complete the thought on your feeling if they can win, I agree. To me, it just makes an even bolder statement of really who this team is and what they're all about. And to do it without a Devin Booker would really, really resonate throughout the league.
Yeah, you know what, Kay? It would be nice to get the starters some rest. It would have been nice, I should have said. If, in fact, you could have done that last night, that was not the case. But especially in Mikal Bridges, oh my goodness. He's played so much in the last four games, 41 minutes again last night. And you know what's going to happen tonight here. Your expectation, what do you expect to see from Mikal?
Well, I expect to see the same thing, you know, and I know we tend to get caught up in all the minutes and everything. But, you know, we also have to remind ourselves, these are still young men.
Yeah.
Young men who are in supremely athletic condition. And, you know, Mikal, I think, has proven, you know, knock on wood, that this kid is as durable as they come, has never missed a game in his NBA career. And he just tends to thrive in these kind of situations. And, you know, I think knowing that they've got, you know, a couple days off before being back home then on Monday, certainly it goes a long way. But these guys, and Mikal in particular, are really feeding off of the defensive level that they have raised their game, and maybe more importantly, the level of awareness that it has sent throughout the league based on what he and the team did to Curry and the Warriors the other night.
So what you're saying is he's not fat and 59. That's what you're saying.
he's a couple years away, brother.
Kevin Ray, Bally Sports, great stuff as always, man. Always enjoy talking
Thanks,
to you.
Thanks, Kay.
All right, fellas, have a great weekend.
Okay, brother.
Thanks a lot, you too. That's Kevin Ray joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. We'll come back and wrap up the week with some audio from Cliff Kingsbury after practice today. How is he approaching this Sunday's most likely physical matchup with the Chicago Bears? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I'll say this real quick before we get into the Cardinals matchup with Chicago on Sunday. Mark J. Spears on Twitter said, Clay Thompson said on Instagram that he hopes to be back, quote, in the next few weeks, maybe a month, unquote. So I understand this is not a Golden State radio show, but that doesn't seem too likely he's back for the Christmas Day game against the Suns.
Well, you know what? I wish him well. I really love Klay Thompson. I love his game. I love how he plays, and he's a pretty good dude from what I hear.
Yeah, he's been dealing with that injury or a re-injury there since the Toronto series. That was 2019.
It's just, wow. I mean, it's like 24 or 25 months.
Yeah. So it does sound like he'll be back, just probably not for that matchup with the Suns on Christmas Day. Back to the Cardinals here, and Cliff Kingsbury spoke today. First of all, I know this injury update is of importance to you, Wolf, talking about Justin Pugh.
Yes, yeah, we'll see if he feels any better tomorrow and then go from there.
They also asked him if he was surprised how long Kyler's ankle took to get ready.
No, not really. High ankles, they're tricky. Everybody knows that, and so we're just working through it.
Yeah, except you said it was an ankle. I mean, honestly, right maybe, now, maybe, that's the one thing. Yeah. About, I never heard anyone say high ankle until the last 2 days.
They asked him if Kyler's playing on Sunday.
Same type of deal. He's practiced and has done better this week, so I'm hoping that he'll feel good on Sunday and be ready to roll.
Still hoping.
There's a lot of hope out there, right now. I'm hoping Kyler Murray comes back and plays. And I can't imagine a scenario, even if it was a high ankle, where he doesn't play.
this, like I said earlier this week, this would be the week where it flipped for me. You know, he doesn't play against, was it San Francisco first? There was even talk, remember, it was like, he's questionable for the San Francisco game. That seems crazy now, how long ago that was.
You know, he's just honestly, too, why would you say high ankle all of a sudden out of nowhere? Now you want to go ahead and say, I want to make sure everyone knows out there it was a high ankle.
Yeah, you guys all knew it was a high ankle, right?
That's what we've all been waiting for. Ankle, of course. We didn't say that from the get-go.
Well, if he doesn't play this Sunday, and I think we all are assuming he will, but if he doesn't play this Sunday, that's when it goes from like, oh, you're resting him or you're being careful with him. That kind of makes sense on a certain level. Whether you agree with the decision or not, it makes sense. Too, if he were to miss this week, like, what is going on?
Man.
So I think he will play. DeAndre Hopkins, though. They asked Cliff why Hopkins wasn't present at practice today.
We're just being smart. We want to make sure he feels really good for this stretch run. And so we'll see how he progresses, run him on Sunday, and see if he can go.
I don't know that he's going to play.
I don't know, honestly, right now. I have no idea.
They can get by another game without DeAndre Hopkins if they have to. They should. Of all the games, this is probably the one where you wouldn't expect going in like, okay, we're going to throw to D-Hop all game.
Correct.
Like, you should be able to get by in this one.
No, I totally agree with that. The collar thing is a mystery. It is a mystery to me that it was an ankle, and now all of a sudden it's a high ankle, and does that mean there's a better chance he does miss the game, and that's why you wanted people to know it was a high ankle? You know what I mean? I mean, you start thinking about all this stuff right now. That's the way that it works. Disinformation and misinformation, ladies and gentlemen. There's a difference between the two.
Or hear me out here. Does he want the Bears to think, hey, it's a high ankle? Everybody's known that, so who knows if he'll come back, because he really is coming back.
Exactly. See how wicked this is. All the wicked web we weave, basically.
I love the idea of just doing a segment. We're kind of doing it, where we just read between the lines of Cliff Kingsbury and what he says, because sometimes his answers are like three words, so there's not really lines to read between. But yet here we are.
Yeah. How about this? Code Cliff.
I thought you were going to say Cliff's Clues or something. I like Code Cliff better.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Cliff's Clues sounds horrible. I don't know why you would even suggest that.
Cliff Clues.
All right, you know what it's time for?
It's like Blue's Clues.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't work so well.
Right.
It's time for some highlights of the week.
Monday.
As a former professional athlete, Basin Orleans, and I use athlete loosely, as a professional wedge buster, what was the question now? I can't say. Whatever the question was about them, I can't say.
The Ravens are the best team in the AFC.
Oh, yeah.
Has nothing to do with the Patriots or fullback or any of that nonsense.
The Ravens, he's nicked up here, he's nicked up there, he's nicked up everywhere.
You writing a song?
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
I came out of nowhere right there.
Tuesday.
The intensity of a triangle. And I'm not saying this because that was the only instrument I could play. I'm not saying that.
Have you ever go to the YMCA or 24-hour fitness to play pickup? God, ever?
Yeah. No, you know what I do, Jay? I suffer in solitude. The fashion thing, I got my guy Josh, who is my fashion guy, and that's it.
Who's your fashion? You have a fashion guy?
Well, like when I don't know what I should wear with something, like
you have a stylist.
If I'm going somewhere nice, I'll actually call them.
Wednesday.
Well, we did have pumpkin pie. We have pumpkin pie.
Oh man, where's the barf bag?
This is how big that game was last night. Vince hasn't slept in like 3 days, but he hung around and he just to stay in studio and do this segment.
Where am I? Who are you people? What are you doing in my living room?
Rally luncheon time, guys. Let's go. Boomer Sooner. Yeah. I'm all about it.
I don't know about that.
Where's the wagon? Where's the wagon?
Thursday.
So I'm going to go a little off the board here. I'm going to go with JaVale McGee on this one.
JaVale McGee!
The worst part last night is there was that NC State-Nebraska game, and it went four overtimes, but the score was 104-100, and I saw the score, and I was like, wow, I wonder what that's like, scoring.
Who's talking over Adam Schefter?
No, it was Ian Rappaport. I think it was Pat McAfee that just kept jumping in.
Wrong insider, Wolf.
I mean, well, who was it? Who's the?
It was Rappaport.
It was Rappaport. Okay, great. Listen, I don't know these guys.
He has not faced a suffocating defense the way he did the other night, led by, you know, the warden, Mikal Bridges. You know, and I'll give props to my son, Zachary. I think he's the one that coined it. He put him in McAlcatraz.
Friday.
Going to get some deep dish pizza, Wolf?
No. Are you kidding me? No way. It's not pizza. What is that?
That is.
I know.
There we go.
That's just a mess of what that is right there. Deep dish.
It's a delicious mess.
Utah's winning.
Okay. No,
just because I want Aaron to be sad tonight.
What a good friend. You're the one in the
pool. Oh, my goodness.
It's so funny because I'm his manager.
We'd like to see DeAndre Ayton dunk a basketball as opposed to tipping it around. feel that, right?
Tipping it around?
Yeah, tipping it around. Just tip it. I'm just going to tip this. I'm going to tip it in there. Oh, there it goes. You know, I mean, it's like Bob Ross. It's like listening to him paint.
You know what stands out?
What?
That Rick put in the part where he said he wants his manager to be sad tonight.
I wanted Hearn to be sad.
So, like, he could have tried to distance himself from it as quickly as possible.
Just double down on it right there. I love that, Rick.
He's like that. Not only did I not regret saying it, it might be a highlight of the week. It might be the highlight of the week.
Honestly, right now, this is, I cannot wait, ladies and gentlemen. I get on a plane tomorrow to go to Chicago. And I cannot wait to see what happens in Chicago. This is, I feel like they have a sprint, six games left, and the number one seed, and it starts in Chicago.
It feels like it's been 2 months since the last time they played. Man. All right, thanks to Aaron Maloney for producing, Jesse Morrison behind the glass for Wolf. I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.